In studio with me now from the NTSB is Carl Dinwiddie, and you are the chief for the central region for the NTSB.
Correct.
Okay, well, we know a little bit about the structure, but why don't you refresh us on exactly what the structure is in the NTSB? You've got your director, correct, or administrator.
Actually, that's the FA.
Yeah. Okay, so the head of the NTSB, what is his title?
The chairman.
Chairman, okay. Yeah. The chairman of the NTSB, and then where does it go from there?
From the chairman, it goes to the board members, and actually, we're the smallest government agency, I believe, there is, and we're not under any cabinet-level position like transportation or defense. We're a completely independent agency. And the reason for that is because at times we're called upon to investigate the activities and how well other federal agencies are doing their jobs, such as Federal Highway, Federal Rail, the Federal Aviation Administration. So we are independent, and we're just about 400 people total, and the aviation section is only about 200 of those people. And we have a five-member board. They're all appointed by Congress. We have a chairman and a vice chairman, and below that we have the various sections for highway, rail, and aviation. And our main business is investigating accidents, such as the bridge accident up in Minneapolis, major rail accidents, and, of course, aviation accidents, which are declining every year. When I first came to the safety board over 30 years ago, we were having 4,700, 4,800 accidents a year. And right now, I think we broke below 2,000 about 5 years ago, and now we're somewhere around 1,700 accidents a year. And that's all civil registered aircraft, and we also do public use aircraft. So we do any aircraft accident in the United States other than a military operation or an intelligence gathering flight.
You were going to talk to us today a little bit about an accident that did take place here. Tell us a little bit about the background of that accident.
Well, it involved two P-51s last year that one P-51 landed on top of the other at the air show was going on. The FAA tower was not in charge of the field, so to speak. The air boss was in charge of the field and the airspace, and the five demonstration aircraft took off, and they did their demonstration. A couple P-51s, I think it was a P-60 in there, and a Corsair, and a Sea Fury, if I recall. And when the P-51s came back to land, the first aircraft landed, the plane, it was called Stang, and then the second airplane landed in the left rear quarter of Stang, and that aircraft was Precious Metal. And when the plane landed and the Precious Metal tried to get back in the air and did what we call a torque roll, and torqued over inverted, and somehow somebody was taking some excellent shots of that. And over in the Federal Pavilion, where we have a booth, we have a series of about 10 sequential photos that show the entire accident.
What's the gist of the finding, do you know?
Yeah, the gist of the findings, of course, the NTSB, we exist primarily, no matter what mode, but to investigate the accident, gather all the factual data, and determine the cause of the accident, and then make any necessary safety recommendations to prevent future accidents. So when this accident occurred, Jim was on standby if there were any accidents, and I actually was over at a presentation given by a former NTSB employee, and I heard about the accident. So we immediately went out onto the field. They put the fire out on Precious Metal, and of course Stang was up on its nose for the people who were here and saw it, and when there is an accident, the number one priority in our mind, and it should be, is the first responders have the scene. If there's any potential, anybody has survived, that's the number one priority. Get any and all survivors out and get them safe. And so after that was done, then we came upon the field and started our investigation looking for scrape marks, propeller marks. We sent people out into the audience to try to see if anybody had witnessed it. Another thing we did is the EAA had a very good video of it, and the next morning I viewed the video for Jim and kind of explained what I saw in the video. And you're trying to start to piece together what happened and why it happened. And so we finished up our own scene. It took a couple hours, and then the wreckage was moved before a sundown. And Jim, one of the things he did, he wanted to talk to, well, why did this accident happen? And what could prevent the accident? I mean, it's a collision of two aircraft in front of tens of thousands of people. And so he interviewed the people who were at the briefing for this team, and what was determined, who was supposed to land when. He checked that out, and then the show was under control of the air boss, so he interviewed all of them and said, well, what did you see? What were you doing at the time of the accident, etc.? And I brought a short brief of the accident, and actually, I'll just read the cause. And again, to talk about the procedures, Jim is the investigator in charge, and he went through all these various steps to investigate the accident. Plus, he interviewed the people in the tower and basically just determined the tower was not in operation and didn't have control of the field, so the FAA ATC was not involved. Years past, we've had accidents when ATC is controlling the aircraft, so standard thing would be to go talk to the controllers. But in this case, that wasn't involved. And Jim gathered, say, all the facts, and additionally, he had assistance from the Winnebago County Sheriff's Office. One of their deputies actually helped us last year, did a site study on a ground collision. And again, he came out and helped document the scene. And his documentation you can see over at the NTSB booth also. So Jim puts all this together. He writes a factual report. I review it, approve it. It goes on the web the next day, the factual report. And that just states everything I've just said, everything we found out about this accident that we know.
No finding, no speculation, just the facts.
That's correct. Just like Sergeant Friday, you say just the facts.
Yeah.
So those go, the report goes to Washington, and it's reviewed by our five-member board. And after that review, and I'll just read you the cause that we issued, and it's available on the web, by the way, for anybody. Any accident we have, I think we've got about 25,000. We're available. We go back over 10 years, and you can search by date, location, N number, and in fact, whenever I have inquiries, I go to our website because it's quick. It's a very quick. But the cause will be there too. But I'll read it to you right now. The National Transportation Safety Board determined the probable cause of this accident was the P-51A pilot's inadequate visual lookout. And by that we mean the pilot of the plane that was Precious Metal that was second. And landing
behind, yeah.
Correct, landing behind. And his failure to maintain clearance from the P-51D. Contributing factors to the accident included the restricted forward visibility of the P-51A, the air race team representative's inadequate pre-flight, the failure of the air boss to recognize the lack of separation between the airplanes on short final, and the diminished air-to-ground radio communications during the air show.
Yeah. Which is, of course, what most people who saw it speculated was the cause.
Correct.
I mean, it couldn't have been too hard of a I mean, you have some accidents that you investigate that they are really stumpers.
Some can take years to solve.
But here you had a lot of people watching. Yeah. You had a lot of pictures. You had a lot of video.
Correct.
And a lot of you were here.
Yes.
While it was still on fire. Yeah. So.
And for the audience, of course, out here, most or many are a lot are pilots, and obviously they know who has the right of way, and when a trailing plane, either in a mid-air collision or in a landing accident, collides with another aircraft, then they're the ones that failed to maintain proper separation.